Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, hello. Belly up to the bar. We have a lot to discuss. This is the Locked On NFL podcast from part of the Locked On Network. I urge you to check out your favorite team. Locked On Vikings, Locked On Bears, Locked On Falcons. Whatever it is that your favorite team or your least favorite team or your division rivals or whatever it is that you're into. But those are growing like crazy. First thing I want to talk about is a trade yesterday. Jamie Collins to the Browns for a third round pick. And immediately, which is often the case with the Patriots, the first thought is, Belichick's an idiot. What's he doing? This is crazy. Why would they trade Chandler Jones? Why would they trade Richard Seymour? Why would they trade Jamie Collins when they're a contender and they are making a run at the title right now? You know, they need him. Why would they on earth would you get rid of somebody like that? And honestly, there's some truth to that. he is a highly, highly athletic specimen. Long, really moves well, explosive. When he came out of school, I thought he was going to be a 3-4 outside linebacker type, pass rusher. And he does that. He doesn't do that quite as well as I thought, you know, as a pure edge rusher. He's much more of an off-the-ball guy, but highly, highly versatile. And you know, he has the skill set to run with a Jimmy Graham or, you know, play the run. But the thing they don't like about him, and I think they sort of punished him for it when sent him to Cleveland, was he doesn't play very disciplined. You know, he freelances too much outside the structure of the defense. He doesn't, quote Belichick, do your job. You know, I mean, this is your job, do that. You don't need to do a bunch of other stuff. And he struggles with that at times. And so they shipped him out. And part of the reason, too, is they have a handful of prominent defensive players that all need paid after this year. And they're going to have to pick and choose who gets the money. So they decided to get a third-round pick out of Collins now in this upcoming draft. And the Browns certainly had picks to spare. As opposed to letting him walk, gets big money, they most likely then get a third-round pick in the next draft from a supplementary pick, which is also at the end of the draft, end of the round. So I'd rather have the first pick in the third round this year, you know, this upcoming year, assuming the Browns are terrible, or the last pick in the third round a year later. So that obviously makes some sense. Not to mention Collins, as of now, is not re-signed by the Browns. I mean, they could franchise him. I would imagine they're not going to let him go. Who knows? But he could become a free agent, and hypothetical, the Patriots could sign him again. But I don't see that happening, obviously. I know that they like this Landon Roberts dude, a six-round pick this past year. They obviously love Dante Hightower. I would imagine they'll play more defenses with only one linebacker on the field in sub-package with Collins out or out of the equation. Odd move, but I mean, there is some sense here. I mean, it does make some sense, without doubt. I mean, they're getting valuable draft capital, which they need. Football Outsiders published something that the Patriots defense faces the easiest slate of games, easiest slate of offenses for the rest of the season in the league. Yeah, but I mean, you're going to face good teams in the playoffs and Super Bowl, hopefully. So I get it, and certainly as a message to the team, the do your job, the Patriot way. As for the Browns, hey, they need every talented defensive player they can get. I'm interested to see how they'll use him. You know, will he be the focal point of the defense? Will he be? Will they allow him to run around more? How's that going to happen? How's that going to work out? But that's interesting to me. So that's a big deal, and hopefully there's some more to talk about coming up, because trades are fun. I wish there was more of them in the NFL. about last night's game. Bears really handled the Vikes. The Vikes have big problems. Obviously, it all stems around their offensive line, more specifically their tackles, and even more specifically the right tackle situation. Pernell McPhee just abused Clemmings, and it really makes the offense difficult to make anything happen. They haven't had any running game all year. Didn't have any running game last night. Asking a lot out of Bradford, and he's coming back to earth a little bit. I said all offseason, though, that I was really impressed with what the Bears have done to build their front seven. And it's finally healthy. Guys like Akeem Hicks, and I mentioned McPhee, Floyd stepping up as he gets, you know, more comfortable in his rookie year. They still don't have Goldman, a big nose tackle type, but they have a lot of talent in their front seven. And I think it'll be a massive strength of this team, along with their interior offensive line, that those are the two things to really build around here. But again, I mean, the Vikes offensive line is a massive problem. The Bears were without both those guards and a rookie center. Whitehair's playing really well, though. But Jordan Howard still had a big game in this one, you know, running all over the Vikes. And he probably was the player of the game when you look back. They didn't feed Alshon. They're still not feeding Alshon Jeffrey enough. And I mentioned yesterday, I thought the Eagles should try to trade for this guy. I can't imagine him being back. Second half, they started to feed him more. Rhodes was also battling an injury. I think it was an ankle. And they had good results with Jeffrey. I still don't understand why they don't do more of that. Cutler played really well. And I'm not a Cutler apologist or defender. I mean, I don't love him. I don't want him to be my quarterback. But it amazes me how much he's bashed. Like he's Ryan Fitzpatrick or, you know, a bad starting quarterback. He's anything but. I mean, he's honestly is an NFL average starting quarterback. And I know average everyone thinks is a terrible word, but he's right in the middle. I mean, I could come up with 15 guys I'd rather have. I could easily come up with 15 I wouldn't, you know, that I would take him over. And I don't know. I mean, it was brought up on Twitter last night. What if the Jags had Jay Cutler every game this year? You know, if he would have been instead of Bortles. I bet they win that division. I mean, I bet they're the best team in the AFC South. So, Cutler played well. It'll be interesting to see what the Bears do this offseason. I would think you're still very much in the market, of course, for, drafting a quarterback. But you could do worse than Cutler and Hoyer. And Cutler and Hoyer in a second-round pick or something along those lines. What else do I have here? Still no, I mean, despite all their offensive troubles, first-round pick Treadwell still never, ever, ever sees the field. He must not get it, but, man, that seems crazy to me that he is not out there at all. I wouldn't say their receivers are disappointed, though. I mean, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson stepping up. Diggs looks like he's healthy. I thought he had a great game. He looks back. You know, he looks like the big weapon here that we thought he was, and then he's been battling injuries. But still, I mean, they're losing late in the game. They really didn't speed up the tempo very much. Not a real impressive showing at all by the Vikes, and I don't see it getting much better on offense. I mean, I still believe the defense is going to be really good. They're on the field a lot, though, and I think that's going to continue. They gave up over 400 yards to the Bears, and a lot of it on the ground to Jordan Howard. So that's a big red flag to me. Next game I want to discuss is Atlanta pulling one out at home over the Packers. A game with really good quarterback play. You know, Matt Ryan is performing at an MVP level, very much in that conversation, consistent, not making a lot of mistakes, really impressive. I mean, they really attacked the middle of the field. They also attacked Dimitri Goodson, a corner who's probably in over his head at this point. The Packers are really light at the cornerback position as they have been for the last couple weeks, and they rolled a lot of attention, as you can imagine, to Julio Jones, even when he had an ankle injury. So he was out there and not himself, but Sanu and the rookie Austin Hooper is a guy I like too. I mean, really stepped up in this game. Sanu made the big catch to win it, but Ryan was the star. I mean, he really was really impressive, and Rodgers played extremely well too. I mean, I think we have to... I don't know, he's turning the corner, but let's just say there's not a lot to worry about with Aaron Rodgers. You know, relax. And in this game, we saw a lot of man-to-man, it looked like, by Atlanta. And I think some of their younger players, like Alford, Trufant's already a stud, Campbell, Jones. Jones really stood out. Deion Jones on the second level. Those guys are starting to play a lot better. Some athletes on defense now, but they played a lot of man coverage. I would imagine because, you know, Cobb and Montgomery weren't in this game and they were defending guys like Don Jackson and Trevor Davis and Geronimo Allison. And collectively, those guys played a fair amount of snaps because they had to. Rodgers wisely, you know, when he saw a lot of man coverage, he tucked it and ran quite a bit, and that was very effective. He's great at that. He always has been. Playing man coverage against Aaron Rodgers usually costs you on the ground with his legs. It did again in this one, but I'm pretty sure he was their leading rusher. You know, I mean, they had nothing on the ground. It's all through the air, and they're just shorthanded right now. I mean, they need some weapons in a bad way. I don't have a whole lot else to really talk about with this one. Really good game. The Falcons have been a couple really good ones now. I very much think they're a contender. I still think Green Bay is very much a contender. They need to get healthier. Mike Daniels was a guy that stood out. I thought the Falcons line overall played pretty well. The Packers line's extremely good, and that showed up again. So not a lot to take away from this game. Fun game. Kind of what we thought it would be, you know. I mean, it lived up to the billing. There were a lot of good games this week. You know what else is living up to the billing? SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the football games you want to see up close and in person. This season, there's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. My buddies all use the SeatGeek app, you know, when they go to the Steeler games, and they love it. It's by far the easiest way that they've said to get tickets. They're big fans. They use my promo code LONFL. It can be anywhere. In just a few taps, you instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek prices compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants you to get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, which is phenomenal. Best of all, all my listeners of the Locked On NFL podcast get a $20 rebate off their first purchase. So get your $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add promo code, enter the promo code LONFL, and you get $20. How can you beat that? Good stuff. So let's talk one more game, and then I want to talk about some quarterback things here. Seattle, New Orleans, and I just wrote an article about this, that New Orleans isn't dead yet, you know, and they get guys like Rankins and Bro back. The defense played well in this game. They're a much, much better team at home on both sides of the ball, especially on offense. So I think that the Saints are still swimming. You know, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl or anything, but they're still swimming. Defense should get only better, you would think, going forward. I mean, maybe that's wishful thinking. Breeze played really well. His trio of receivers is really good, you know, and they're very different. Snead, Cooks, Michael Thomas. Thomas looks like maybe he might be a star. But his line might be the heroes here. They really protected well against, you know, I didn't see that coming, against a great Seattle defense. They were at home, and Seattle didn't have Michael Bennett. Obviously, that's a huge factor. He is a superstar. So that needs to be factored in. I mean, if everyone's healthy and this game's in Seattle, I think it goes much differently. But then they pulled Ingram out of the game, too. And Hightower wasn't great, but he went over 100 yards, got the ball a ton. And if you remember at the end of last year, I mean, that was his move, too. You know, he came in late in the season, fresh legs, and you see that a lot. And did really well. I mean, he did really well. So I would imagine he's a starter going forward. I'm not sure what the story is with Ingram. I was super impressed with him last year. I thought he was really a good quality back. On the other side of the ball, it was cool to see CJ Procise more involved. You know, he's going to be a multifaceted weapon for those guys. They released CJ Spiller. I think Procise's role is ready to grow a lot, you know, as a receiver, runner, do a lot of different things with him. Their line still is a problem, but really the problem is, right now is Russell Wilson. You know, I really like Russell Wilson, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think he's going to have a great career. I think he's a great player. I just don't think he's close to healthy at all. And I think he's fighting numerous issues. I think everyone in the stadium knows he's not going to run. I think his lower body is hurting his mechanics too, isn't it, with accuracy. And, you know, usually his unique abilities made up for a poor line and, you know, suspect running game at this point right now too. But that's not the case. You know, he's not compensating for all those around him, as you would expect. And maybe he will. You know, like, the people in the know seem to think he should get healthier as the season goes on. Who knows? But that's a sticking point for them now. I mean, they're very Wilson dependent, and he's not coming through. And I don't really blame him. I mean, I just think that that's where he is right now. And Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Last night on Twitter, I'm not sure how we ended up down this road. I think it was when I started talking about Cutler, how he gets too much heat, and we were talking about different quarterbacks and rankings. And I was asked, you know, two different questions, and I just want to tell you and probably stir some controversy. But I was asked to rank, and this is not who's better, who would I rather have? And that's a different question. It's a different question, because who do I want from this point on? And one of them is an established group of quarterbacks: Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson. I felt pretty confident in this ranking. I went Luck, who I think is playing clearly the best of the three, and I like what he brings to the table more than the other two, you know, from an all-around standpoint. Then I went Wilson. Then I went Newton, and Newton looked great this past week. I like them all. I mean, I take them all over Jay Cutler and some of the other, you know, a lot of the other guys are being started out there. But I had no problems making that those rankings: Luck, Wilson, Newton. More difficult, I was asked to rank basically the seven up-and-comers, you know, first, second, third-year guys. And a lot of it stemmed around talking about Derek Carr. So it was Carr, Goff, which he probably doesn't even belong in the conversation yet, Prescott, Bortles, Wentz, Winston, and Mariota. So basically all the young, talented, high draft picks, with the exception of Prescott, but he's playing a very super impressive, youngsters who are playing right now. And obviously you know a heck of a lot more about Carr than you do Goff, you know, and that you got to factor that in. So again, the question is, who do you want? You know, you're starting a football team. You get to pick one of those guys, and you know everything you know about them as we stand here. And my pick is going to be controversial. And again, I think this ranking was harder than the Luck, Wilson, Newton crew. I want Wentz first. And I know I don't know as much about him. I'm just super impressed. I think he's the absolute total package. I think he's on a Luck-like career path. The mental side of things to me really indicates that he will not be a bust. But you could certainly make the argument for Carr, too. I mean, Carr is playing the best of these guys by far. You know, he's slightly outside the MVP conversation. He's been up and down, but he's, you know, established as a true NFL star quarterback or franchise quarterback. I could see why you'd take him. And there's a lot more body of work there to take, you know, to go off of. So he's second for me. I would do Wentz, Carr, Winston, Mariota, Prescott. And I know he's playing better than Mariota or Winston right now. I'm just a huge believer in Winston and Mariota still. And I think some of their surroundings are hurting them more than I think that they're hurting themselves. So Wentz, then Carr, then Winston, then Mariota, then Prescott, Bortles, who's gone to garbage. But I still take Bortles over Goff. I mean, Goff hasn't seen the field yet. None of the indications are super promising on him right now. So he gets obviously the most incomplete grade of the group, though. Last topic, a personal favorite of mine retired, Andre Johnson. And I don't know why this happens, but I've been in many Twitter conversations over the past 4 or 5 years about Andre Johnson as a Hall of Famer. I think he's pretty easily a Hall of Famer. I mean, I get that it's a really difficult position, and I would put Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, you know, some of his contemporaries in ahead of him. But I think he's an all-time great, you know, a top 10 all-time, top 12 type wide receiver, a superstar, prototype, played with some bad quarterbacks. You know, I think his numbers would be much different in different circumstances. Such a fantasy-driven community nowadays. People, you know, a lot of people just harp on, yeah, but he didn't score me 12 touchdowns a year when he was on my fantasy team. And for some reason, he didn't score a lot of touchdowns. I don't think that keeps you out of the hall, though. You know, and I still think he is a Hall of Fame type of player and a great one. So that's going to do it. Check out SeatGeek. Check out the Locked On Network. We bring it to you every day. You know, short clips like this. You know, we don't drag it out. We get right to the point. And we're here every day for you. And stop back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to do Power Ranks. We skipped Power Ranks last week. So a lot of moving and shaking on the Power Ranks front.